There's a new word that has come into the vernacular of our society for the last, last 3 or 4 years. I guess it's only been in the last 2 or 3 years I've heard it. I've heard a lot of people start to use it. And maybe some of you have heard this word too. I'm kind of looking around for some yes or, I mean, of course you've heard the word, but have you heard it used in the context it gets used today? You'll hear people talk about the idea that they are woke. Or maybe you hear someone say that person is woke. A condition or a circumstance that they're trying to describe of being aware of things that maybe not, in their estimation, not everybody's aware of. It's a political term. I found one nice definition. It says, woke is a political term originating in the United States, referring to a perceived awareness of issues, issues concerning social justice, racial justice, et cetera, et cetera. It's political. It's a little bit obnoxious. Because the implication is if you don't agree with me, then you're just, you know, you're not woke. You're not aware of what's going on in the world. But what's kind of interesting about the idea, I was kind of thinking about it, in our family, we kind of throw it around. Anytime we get in a disagreement, we, you know, someone will say, well, you're just not woke. You know, it doesn't matter what the subject is. We just like to, you know, say things like that sometimes. But it occurred to me that there's a biblical principle behind this idea. Certainly one that's lost on most of the people that use the term today, I would suggest. But one that, nevertheless, I thought is probably worth our time for just a couple of minutes this morning to present to ourselves, to ask ourselves. That in the context of using this term in a biblical manner, does it really apply? Let me show you what I mean. Let's run through some passages in the Bible. I'll just put them up here for the sake of speed that we look at them together. Romans chapter 13, the Apostle Paul is talking about the life of being a Christian, living sacrifices. He says, and do this knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Now, when you think of that term, you probably are thinking, hey, I think there's a lot of times in the New Testament where they talk like this. And you're right. You're right. You move on. You can think of maybe 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul had been talking about, you know, the coming of the Lord. He says, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep at night. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. It's kind of neat how much that parallels Romans chapter 13 when he's saying, don't just wake up, but wake up and get dressed, in other words. Ephesians, the Apostle Paul here talking to the church in Ephesus, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See to it that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And then finally, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34, the Apostle Paul tells the Corinthians to awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some of you do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. And maybe this last verse we just sit on for just a second to make the application. When the Bible is talking about this idea of being woke, or the Bible would just say, be awake, it's talking to believers, first of all. We're not talking to unbelievers, although unbelievers are the ones who are in darkness, who aren't clothed properly, all these terms that he's been using here. But he's talking to believers when he says, you need to awake and be sober. And of course, sober both implies the idea of away from, you know, drunkenness, but it also implies the idea of being serious or being aware. You know, that sense of when you wake up in the morning and you're kind of still not quite all there, all clear yet. The idea of being sober is, well, you might say it's after that first cup of coffee and you're finally starting to come to and awaken. And that's the idea that Paul is saying. He says, be awake and be aware. He says, because some of you don't have the knowledge of God. He says, that's too bad. So to be awake, we would say then, from the biblical term, is to have the knowledge of God. And again, what's remarkable about this, of course, is, as I said, well, we would say, well, most people in the world aren't awake. They're the sleeper, as the Bible would describe them. They aren't conscious of the spiritual things around them. But Paul is saying sometimes we're not either. And that's the thing that I got to thinking about as I considered this term, that what we're looking at here is a divine wake-up call, if you would. That the Apostle Paul is repeatedly saying to believers, to people like you and I, saying, hey, you need to wake up. You need to wake up to things that maybe are kind of passing you by. Maybe you're not aware of, or you're not, you know, quite all there yet, but something's happening. What's the worst thing you've ever had to wake up to? Maybe not to make you relive a terrible memory, but to say, you know, to wake up, you hear someone banging in the house, like someone's breaking in. You need to wake up, see what that is. You know, that smell of smoke. You need to wake up and find out what's going on. These are all pretty serious things. And I would say that that's the seriousness Paul wants us to envision. The idea of wake up. You need to be aware of what's going on. Something's happening. And you may not know what that something is. When Paul is talking about to awaken, he's saying you need to be aware of something. There's a path. The way of Christ, as it's described repeatedly in the New Testament. And sometimes those on that path aren't awake enough to be safe. Have you ever known somebody to fall asleep while driving? You know, to drift off? Maybe even not entirely fall asleep, just kind of lose their attention for a moment. And that's, of course, that's a deadly thing. Could you agree with me to say that in the way of Christ, it is a far more deadly thing to not be awake while we are on the way of Christ? So let's say this. Let's say that the Word of God would reveal to us these ideas. And we're going to come back and visit these ideas. Number one, it wants you to be awake that sometimes you're not on the right path. Number two, it wants you to be awake to the reality of what life has in store for you. Or more specifically, the end of life has in store for you. Number three, I would want you to be awake. I think the Word of God will tell us, as we'll see in just a moment, that you need to know what your Creator, who's watching you, expects from you. Or to say, perhaps relate that to one another, to what your brethren are expecting from you. I think these are the things that we could walk through Scripture and see that being awake speaks to the most. So let's go through these for a second, just a couple of minutes this morning to think about that question. Are you, in a spiritual sense, woke? And the first place I would say is how you are walking. You ever watch those videos of people who are walking and texting? You know, and they're walking and texting, and they walk into a pole, or they walk into a hole, or, you know, sometimes they're, you know, sometimes they're kind of funny, but sometimes they're, ooh, you know, they really got hurt. People have been hurt pretty seriously. I dare say, I'm sure some people may have died being distracted by things in the world. So you would understand it makes sense that Paul would want to say to believers in his time, to you and I, wake up. You're not paying attention to where you're walking. Word of God talks about sometimes saints think they can walk in darkness and light. They can, you know, they can be, you know, well, let's say they're godly on Sunday. They show up, they worship God, they commit to things, but then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they're just as worldly as everybody else. They use worldly words. They're profane. They curse. They're vulgar. They take up worldly habits, things that are works of the flesh, drinking, sexual immorality, all sorts of things like that. And they think, well, you know, it's okay if they're kind of on autopilot. They're just not really thinking about it, probably. But the Word of God wants you and I to know that you can't be this way. If you're walking where you think, well, you know, I'm just kind of moving along, one foot's in darkness, one foot's in light, you're really all in darkness. You just don't know it. And you need to wake up. You know, you need to suddenly have that jolt. It's too bad that in a spiritual sense there aren't those rumble strips on the side. And maybe there are. Maybe that's what we do for one another. We're the rumble strips on the side of the road that kind of vibrate and say, hey, you know, those rumble strips are annoying, right? And they're life-saving too. And perhaps in some way we're one another. We're those rumble strips that are trying to shake each other up to say, hey, wake up. Hey, you're drifting. And while sometimes people say, oh, I don't bother with me, these things, I think anybody who is very aware would say, wow, that was close. How could this have ended a moment ago in tragedy? And I'm grateful that something brought it to me. If we say we have fellowship with Him, but we're walking in darkness. If we say I'm in Christ and then I'm actually just doing the things of darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. I would have you say probably the greatest part of New Testament writing is trying to tell saints who are trying to walk a line between the world and darkness, you're going to have an accident. You've got to get back on the road. So the first thing I would say, if you're woke spiritually, it's the idea that you're conscientious about the path you're taking spiritually. You're not just there. You're not just showing up. You're not just filling in the boxes, checking off the marks, doing the things that you think you just need to get done in order to, you know, to finish all this up. You're actually conscientious about the way that you live your life in Christ. That's what I would say it means to be woke in the spiritual context, which is the only real context that matters. But there's more. Because you also want to say, where are you headed? Where are you going? That driver who's not paying attention, who's distracted, who's not seeing where they're going, they may have missed their turn, they may have gone the wrong direction, and pretty soon perhaps they're on a completely different destination. They're going to arrive somewhere else entirely. And I would suggest to you that one of the things the Word of God wants us to think about is that our end is nearer than when we first believed. That the end of all things is nearer than when we first believed. And many people ignore this idea. Let's understand this. We are, every one of us, going to die. Unless our Lord returns first, we're going to die. It's going to be sooner than you think. And at that moment, everything that you thought was valuable or profitable, you have invested your time with, you're going to have a moment of clarity where you see, hey, it just wasn't really worth that much. We stayed with a family recently for a gospel meeting and heard a story of how their kids were praying once, and they just had a lesson on the end of all things out of 2 Peter chapter 3. And the young boy was praying and he says, well, you know, God, I want to thank you for my home that's going to burn up one day. I want to thank you for my bed. It's going to burn up one day. And thank you for my toys that are going to burn up one day. You know, sometimes kids get it. And, you know, sometimes it terrifies them when they get it. But sometimes they really get it. They really understand that things aren't going to last. The things that you think are important, the things that are going to take up most of your worry this week, I dare say, and I could be wrong, you might be entirely worried about spiritual things every day this week, but by and large, most of us spend our time worried about things that are going to be destroyed, that are going to be gone, that are going to burn up. And if they don't burn up, they may not even make it to burning up. They may have rotted and decayed before that moment. They'll be inconsequential, they'll be insignificant, and we'll have spent a lot of time paying attention to those things and not paying attention to where we're going. You're going to the grave. And in that moment, we understand that you're going to be held accountable for everything you've done. You'll one day stand before God. And I'm mindful of how Jesus gave us the parable of the rich man that had all the wealth from his crops and such. And he said, I'm just lucky. I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to retire. I'm going to live the good life. All the plans he was making. And God said, you're a fool. You fool. This night your soul is required of you. Then whose will these things be which you have provided? Solomon talked a lot about this in Ecclesiastes, where he would warn us. He would say, hey, we're all going to the same place. The rich man, the poor man, the king, the pauper. We're all headed to the same place. That needs to be something that's on your mind. The Bible says that it's a good thing to enter into, Solomon said it's a good thing to enter into a house of mourning. He says, because people take it to heart that this is where we're headed. To an end. Where everything that we thought matters doesn't. All that matters then is a life that is meaningful to God. Second thing I would want you to think about being spiritually woke. What does that mean? It means that you realize everything you look at, everything you deal with every day, the things that are all around us are not significant, that they're passing away, that they're just shadows of a reality that is true and spiritual, and that your ultimate fate is one day to stand before God, and that's all that matters. That's the only thing that counts for anything. We get distracted. You know, I really believe it, and I'll say this carefully, not intellectually, but emotionally, I think most people don't think they're going to die. Again, I'll say that Not intellectually, you know, logically people can say, yeah, I'm going to die. Emotionally, most people put that thought as far away from them as they can. But those who are woke understand that at any moment I can stand before God. And they believe that. They believe with their heart that at any moment I can stand before God, so that at every moment I need to be ready for that. Here's the third thing to think about. God is watching you. You know, sometimes I'll be asleep and I'll dream that suddenly I'm... You know, I dream I'm here a lot. I dream I'm here a lot. And they're always strange dreams. I don't want to elaborate because they're just strange sometimes. But, you know, I'll be here and I'll be asleep up front here in my dream. And I'll wake up and I'll... Oh, no, I'm supposed to be... Everybody's watching me. You know, that's a terrible feeling. Everybody's looking at me and I'm... Here I am asleep and I'll be trying to wake myself up. Usually I wake myself up from the dream because I'm trying to wake myself up. You know, that idea, somebody is watching you. You need to be awake. Well, that's kind of the concept Paul is saying. He says, God is watching you. You need to wake up. And maybe the point is you're doing things that are offending God. Maybe you're not doing what's right before God. You know, I often wonder what we would be like if, you know, the Bible speaks about being surrounded by the innumerable host of angels in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and the concept that we are, you know, constantly being watched. God is watching us. Angels. You know, what if every deed I did, every single thing I did, I could actually look around and see a host of angels around me watching me intently? Or I could see God himself in heaven as that, you know, Stephen looked and saw God. I could see God looking at me, watching me, as Peter saw Jesus whenever he denied Jesus three times. That's a heavy story. What would I be like? What would you be like? Tomorrow morning you got up and there they were watching the angels, or God himself was watching you. And even every moment as you went by and everything you did and everything you said, God was right there watching you. I dare say, I imagine most of our behaviors would change dramatically. But because we have that understanding by faith, and our faith isn't always as strong as it should be, we don't often think about the fact that God is watching. The Word of God says that our blasphemy today isn't just our words, but it's our conduct in the world. And the problem is there's a lot of people that are insulting God, that like Peter are sitting there and denying Jesus by our deeds and by our actions. And Jesus is there and he's watching in the midst of the torment that we're giving God. Our conduct, it blasphemes God. Our ambivalence, our apathy is an insult to God. You know, the Hebrew writers, in my mind, this has always been, I've said, maybe one of the most frightening condemnations of Scripture. When the Hebrew writer says, you know, talking about, he says, the law of Moses, you had to die if you broke the law of Moses. He says, well, how much worse punishment, law of Christ, how much worse punishment do you suppose would he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, who has insulted the Spirit of grace? You know what's fascinating about those statements? As you look at those statements, you say, man, somebody does that, you know, that's, you're doomed. But you know, in the context of the conversation, he was just talking about forsaking the assembly. How often is our behavior an insult to God? How often is it that by our worldly conduct we're blaspheming God? The person who is spiritually woke is aware that God is here. God is watching me. That I am being seen, and every action is being seen, and even indeed the very thoughts in my heart are being borne witness to by God. That's what it means to be spiritually woke. God sees all that I've done. So I dare say somebody who is spiritually woke, and maybe now you're starting to see why Paul would suggest maybe a lot of Christians really aren't. We aren't there yet. We're trying to get there, but we really aren't entirely woke yet. We're working on it. Because if we were woke, we'd watch every word we said. If we were woke, we'd watch every thought we think. If we were woke, every deed we do, we would be very cautious and careful. Because being woke means I know God watches me right now. In every moment of my life. The sleeper, the spiritual sleeper that Paul was pointing to often is the person who just isn't aware or thinks about with what they're saying or what they're doing that God is there. Well, let's transfer this a different way of thinking of it. Wake up, your brethren are here. They've shown up at the door. Get up. It's interesting how many times a parable might be of somebody knocking at a door and saying, you know, wake up, wake up. You keep knocking. Wake up, your brethren are here. You'd jump out of bed, right? You'd run, you'd get dressed, you'd make sure that you were prepared, you'd do whatever you needed to do to be up as quickly as possible. Let me suggest to you, though, that one of the ways we demonstrate we are not woke spiritually is in how we treat one another. How we hurt one another without thinking about it. Without thinking about it. You know, we have a lot of opportunities as a church. We set up times to come together. We say, hey, let's have a men's Bible study. Let's have a group Bible study. Let's do these things. And if somebody sets up a group Bible study, not so much this year, but somebody sets up a group Bible study. What do? They sit down, they clean up their house really nicely. You know, they prepare something to eat, maybe. They do all this work to clean it. And then maybe, like I said, maybe somebody else says, well, you know, I'm going to prepare a Bible study. I'll sit down and for hours at a time, I'm going to start working to prepare those thoughts and to set those things up. And you're not there. Okay, let me lay this on you, and you think about this for a minute. How do your brethren feel when they have labored to prepare a place for you, and you're not there? There are parables about this, right? The parable of the wedding feast, where God describes calling a feast, calling everybody, and everybody's got an excuse why they can't come. And the master says, that's fine, everybody has a reason, right? He's angry. Now, that didn't happen. You know, not too long ago, I think, I set up a Bible study, and I think Samantha was the only one that came. And let me just tell you how rotten that feels. Put together a lot of work, try to get people to come to your home. It isn't that somebody said, well, Brian, that isn't a good time. Why don't we do it another time or something? They just don't show up. And it really feels rotten. And we all do it sometimes, right? I've done it. As I lay this on you, and it's a heavy weight to bear, I've done it. I've not been thinking about the brethren, and I've kind of just been thinking about myself and how I felt and what I was doing and kind of putting those things first. And I just wasn't thinking about the fact that maybe I am really hurting somebody. If you're thinking, you know that, yeah, well, you're woke. If you're feeling bad about that, well, good. You're woke. You're coming to a point to say, you know what? I miss coming together. I'm missing the assembly of the saints, the body coming together. That's a big deal. Anthony and I were just recently talking about this to say, you know, there's a lot of times people will pick other things over the Lord. They'll pick their friends. They'll pick their family. They'll pick their hobbies, their entertainment, rather than gathering together with the saints. And they're just not woke to the idea that not being there hurts others. It hurts others. And again, I'm not talking about the times where, you know, I'm sick or I'm, you know, I can't be there because I'm gone or things like that. I'm just saying that there's a lot of times when it's just, we just chose not to do it. And we just can't appreciate the weight of those things. I'd say that might be the number one way that we hurt each other and we don't even think about it. Not even aware of doing it. But if there's a number two, or if maybe there's a number one before this one even, I'd say, well, sometimes it's the things that we say. In fact, I would suggest that probably gets a lot more attention in the Word of God about dangers we do. Is sometimes we just say things that are thoughtless or they're opinions or things like that. And we just don't realize that sometimes those, I like to say, they're like hand grenades. We pull the pin and we throw it. It's our opinion. We're just tossing it out there. But we don't realize there's a lot coming out of that explosion that could hurt a lot of things or do a lot of things that we didn't even anticipate it would do. We're not thinking about what we have to say. That's heavy. That's heavy. And what it amounts to is the idea that a lot of times with it, when it comes to our brethren, we aren't woke. We haven't quite woken up yet to the dependence our brethren have on us. You know what? For all of us, we just can't always appreciate just how important we are to one another. Paul would say, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, beg you, walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." Now, how do you walk worthy? How do you walk carefully? How do you walk in a way that pleases God? Well, he says it's lowliness and gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. To be spiritually woke is to be aware that your brethren are important. Being with them is important, and doing the things that we say to them are important, and that we've got to be aware of the significance of that relationship. It's time to wake up. You know, as we mature spiritually, and that's really the conversation we're having here. We're not talking about the idea that that the moment I become a Christian that I'm expected to have a mind towards all these things. It's talking about spiritual maturity. I need to grow into this awareness. Like I said, waking up isn't just an instant thing. You're not just instantly awake. You know how it is. That phone call comes in and you're asleep. And you try to sound awake and no one ever does. You know, you always, oh, and did I get you asleep? Oh, asleep. Oh yeah. I've never fooled anybody. It's spiritually, it's like that. We have to grow into being woke in that spiritual sense. We have to grow into an awareness of things. And it takes years to grow into that, by the way. It doesn't just happen overnight. It takes years to grow into an awareness of how we impact others with things we say, things we do, how our lives before God need to be centered in a way that sets him up. But Paul would always say, hey, we all need to be working on this. We all need to say, do I know what I'm doing? It's a question we all want to ask. And we all need to say, do I know where I'm going? Am I aware? Where are my priorities at? Am I too caught up in things in this world when my eternal destiny is really all that matters? Is it possible that I forget sometimes God is watching me and I'm not always mindful of that? Is it possible that sometimes I'm hurting my brethren and not even thinking about that? Ask yourself these questions. That's what it means to be on that path, in a spiritual way to being woke. Let's take a second. Let's go to our Father in a word of prayer. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Most holy God and Father in heaven, we love you and we thank you for the great blessings you bestow upon us each and every day. For this day, though, Father, we are particularly grateful. For this is the day that you have made. We're glad and we rejoice in it. This is the day that we gather together as the body of Christ to worship you. Father, it's our desire that we should walk faithfully in all that we do. We also understand, though, Father, that faithful walk requires a growing and constant awareness that we are walking intentionally and we're behaving intentionally in our faith. Father, help each one of us to grow to this wakefulness, to this sobriety of mind that allows us to be more and more attentive so that we are more functioning, more successful, more profitable as servants. Father, we haven't always done that. So, Father, at this time, we ask you, first of all, forgive us if we've sinned against you or against one another. And second of all, certainly, Father, help us to forgive each other, knowing that none of us can see you if we should hold a grudge. Father, help us all to walk faithfully and to do what we can. Give us opportunities to encourage one another, all the more as we see that great day approach. In the name of your Son and our Savior Jesus, we pray. Amen. I said earlier when we were in Romans chapter 13, one of the neat things about that passage is he says, wake up and get dressed. You know, and it goes into the armor of God. In fact, several of those passages said, wake up and put on the armor of God. What I like to think of is when you think of the idea of putting on the armor of God, the armor of Christ, would you understand that? Would you agree that that might be stated another way, that it's putting on Christ? You know, there's another way to be woke. that we didn't talk about. That is to the way of the unbeliever, who is unaware of their sins before God, who's unaware of their eternal fate, who's unaware of God's expectations to them, and they stand condemned before God. They're utterly in darkness, and then they suddenly glance and glimpse the light. What do they need to do? To awake might be that awareness that comes by hearing and believing, confessing their sins before God, repenting of their sins, turning away from these things. It's like getting out of bed and then putting on Christ. And the Word of God says we put on Christ whenever we are baptized into Christ. That's what it is to awaken from the sleep of death, of that spiritual death that all men who sin have. You know, in Revelation 16, verse 15, he says this, "Behold, I'm coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." Word of God also speaks to us as people that need to remember, keep your garment on. That's Christ, right? How do I keep Christ on? Well, the Word of God would say that if we abide in the doctrine of Christ, we're abiding in Christ. If we're in